In the name of Jesus, who deserves all that we are and have. Amen. The scripture reading for this morning is clear enough as to what it's talking about. In the modern Christian church, it has become a landmark passage on the subject of Christian giving. The Macedonians gave according to their means and beyond their means, of their own free will. And as we hear this, the Holy Spirit moves us to do the same, not merely by following the example of the piety of Macedonia, but as we see in the opening words, to see the grace of God that was at work in Macedonia. The gifts which they gave to man were also, of course, gifts that they gave to God. And their gifts to God reflected that their love was sincere or genuine or real. The word here is genesios, meaning legitimate or real. Perhaps a related word to this is the word alikrinia, which suggests purity of motive in their giving, or a gift which stands the test of close scrutiny. In the context of this pericope, Genesius takes on the meaning, in keeping with the supreme gift of God, which is his Son, Jesus Christ, who became poor for us. Or in keeping with the theme for this week, in keeping with the gift of eternal life, which is nothing less than being with Jesus Christ. Now, as you might expect, the idea of offering perfect gifts to God did not originate with Paul, but it goes back to the Old Testament and is evidenced by the word tamim, which in connection with sacrifices has the meaning of perfect. It's reflected in Leviticus chapter 22, where it says, "You shall not offer anything that has a blemish, for it will not be acceptable for you. And when anyone offers a sacrifice of peace offerings to the Lord to fulfill a vow or as a free will offering from the herd or from the flock to be accepted, it must be perfect." There are, of course, many different kinds of sacrifices in the Old Testament. And to put them all into neat categories is kind of a slippery business, like trying to fit all the offices in the New Testament church into neat categories. However, for our purposes this morning, two general categories of sacrifices emerge. The first kind being that which were part and parcel of their salvation, working the forgiveness of sins and ensuring an ongoing fellowship between a holy God and a sinful man. The second kind we might call sacrifices which were after the fact of salvation. That is, sacrifices that were offered in the assurance that salvation was already theirs. We might call them thank offerings or volunteer offerings or over and above gifts which they gave to the Lord. Now, with the first category, these offerings were required, and being required, they had to be perfect. No blemishes, not blind or lame, or disfigured or diseased in the prime of life. They had to be fitting for a holy God and the Messiah King who was to come. Only perfect offerings could legitimately point to the one perfect sacrifice for all sin, which was to come. Now you would expect with the second category, those which were given after the fact of salvation, that there would be a somewhat different story. You might expect that since salvation was already assured, that an anything goes policy might have been in effect with these offerings. After all, they are over and above and extra and volunteer. But no, sir. Leviticus tells us that these gifts had to be perfect too. In other words, any gift that is given to a holy God, regardless of the circumstances, was to be perfect. All of their offerings were to be fit for God the King. This was the driving force behind the giving of the Macedonians, I'm sure. For one thing, thanksgiving to God means doing something. There is no such word in the Old Testament which just means an inward feeling of thankfulness or gratitude. But the main point is, whether God had remained aloof and let us rot in our sins, or whether, as he has in fact condescended to forgive us, whether our gifts are before or after the fact of salvation, God remains holy and remains deserving of the very best that we can give him. The cross is our salvation, and that happened 2,000 years ago, which means we are living in the time after the fact that our salvation was assured and accomplished. That means that all of our offerings that we give as Christians today fall into this second category. In the Christian era, all of our offerings are thank offerings, extra, over and above, voluntary, in view of the perfect, sufficient sacrifice that was made on the cross. But God's message for us is, just because your offerings are now voluntary and over and above is no excuse for bringing me your junk. Prescribed or not, do it right. Do it right in your coursework. Do it right in how you present yourselves to other people. Do it right in your helping of other people. When it comes to giving thank offerings to a holy God, good enough is never good enough. By now, I'm sure you've all heard of cheap grace. I guess what I'm talking about this morning is what tends to follow cheap grace. Let's call it cheap sanctification. You know, the electric company can send you a bill for $107.19, and you will pay $107.19, and you'll do it on time. When a car payment comes along for $251.46, you'll pay $251.46, and you'll do it on time because it's required of you. When it comes to your fiance, you'll give her the very best ring that you could possibly afford. When it comes to a requirement like income tax, we'll give a penny for every penny that is required of us. But then it comes to thank offerings for a salvation which is already accomplished, and we tend to say, over and above, eh? Free will, eh? It's time to roll out the junk for the Lord. Let's bring out all the limping and diseased cattle to the Lord. Let's give him the 75 cents that's left over from our trip to the gas station. Let's have a rummage sale for God, where we give to God all the things that we couldn't possibly use anyway. Let's give to God our Campbell soup labels, because it is over and above. Let's bring out all the half-hearted expressions of mere thankfulness, which border on being totally meaningless. No, sir. Christian thanksgiving is what our life is all about. A disciple for Christ never uses the mercy of God as an excuse for bringing junk to the Lord. If anybody knows what God is worth and deserving of, it is a Christian who has tasted of God's kindness like no one else. With a junk kind of attitude, it's no wonder why many Christians are missing out on the joy of Christian life. Because there is no joy in offering to the Lord a C in a course when you're perfectly capable of an A. There's no joy in giving to the Lord an F in a course when you're perfectly capable of a C. The joy comes in having the chance to give your very best to God, who has given you his very best. The sum and substance of it all is that through the mercy of Christ, God has accepted us, and he accepts anything that our feeble hands might bring to him, even if it is the widow's mite. But at the same time, in thanksgiving for all of his love, we strive to offer him our best anyway. Or as Paul puts it in the scripture reading, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.